my name is Mitch. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Mitch.
I also starved myself, and food restrictor, and exercise bulimic. Well, that was interesting. I put it 15 seconds. So, I'm done. Thank you. Don't you just love it when the speaker messes up? I love it when my phone goes off while I'm talking because I was the one who didn't silence. Love that. So, okay, now I'll start. I've shared out here many times at this meeting and over the years that I've been here and been abstinent, and it's always nice to come out and see familiar faces, see some new faces and stuff like that. So I come out like maybe once or twice a year and speak here, so it's nice. It's nice to, it's also, there's, I'm going to say that. I guess, you know, as the position of speaker-getter moves around, you know, it seems that I get asked even by people who know my story or by people who are new that have taken on the position as that, who don't know me, who ask me to come and speak. So I must be on some kind of Moran hit list, you know, to get asked to speak. Yes, yes, there is a Moran hit list. It took me a long time to kind of figure that out, but I'm like, hey, keep calling me. I don't know what that's about. I'm from Alameda, which is just kind of across the bridge, and so I don't get out here much except when I'm asked to speak. So you may not. If you don't, you may have never seen me before, and you may be wondering, what the hell, who's this guy?
Can you speak a little louder, please?
Okay, and it could be difficult, but I'll do my best. I have a hearing thing, too, so I didn't put my hearing aids in today either. Or I don't know if you wear them or not, but I wear them. Anyway, it's nice not to be forgotten, I guess. I just celebrated the end of February, 18 years of being abstinent, and I've been in the fellowship for 19 years. So it took me a while to get abstinent while coming. Actually, I was coming before I had any idea that I had a problem with what I was doing, because what I thought I was doing was, you know, okay, you know, I just had a little problem with this stuff over here, and as long as I didn't, you know, eat that, I knew I was good, right? Right. Wrong. But, you know, so I always feel like I kind of got bamboozled into this program, because a friend of mine who's in this program invited me to his house for dinner on Friday night, him and his wife, and I would go there and have dinner with them, and then they say, hey, you want to go to a meeting with us, you know? Oh, yeah, sure, why not? You know, hey, we're, you know. So we'd go to this meeting called the Lifeboat in San Francisco. It was a huge meeting. There'd be over 100 people, you know, and it was like, wow, this is huge, you know, just like, wow. And of course, you know, I'm not a member. I'm just looking at the literature and, you know, at the break and stuff like that, you know, and people would come up and talk to me, and you guys all seem very friendly, but I'm not a member. No. Well, at the same time, I was working with this nutritionist who put me on a food plan. I didn't know it was a food plan. She put me on a food plan, and a lot of things started to change, that I had suffered with depression for many years. And I thought that the only time I was depressed was when I wanted to kill myself. And through this new food plan, the depression was lifted. And I was looking out at the world with new eyes. Now, I know that's not everybody's story, you know, and I couldn't tell you what to do to get that, you know. I can just tell you what I did and made that happen, but that may not be what you need to do to make that happen if you happen to be depressed. I don't know. I don't have the magic bullet here, but it worked for me. And once that happened, I realized I had been depressed as far back as I could remember, you know. And it was quite shocking, in a sense, because I had used, not knowingly, I had used this depression and anger and a lot of resentment and a lot of other things that we call character defects as part of my personality, you know, to keep, basically to keep you away from getting to know who I was, you know, because I was terribly afraid of that kind of intimacy, of you getting to know me, because if you did, I was afraid you would hurt me. And through the process of becoming a member, for one, finally, you know, admitting that I had a problem with food and exercise and, you know, and I couldn't do it on my own. That I need, because that was one of my big character defects. I can do this on my own. The ego, you know. Once that got, you know, crushed and I realized I couldn't be abstinent on my own, that things became a lot easier to become a member and to accept that I was a compulsive overeater and that I belonged here. And early on, there was a spiritual advisor of mine who was never my sponsor, and I asked him why he kept coming back. And he had told me that there was a shift within his recovery at a certain time where he made this commitment to come back and to give back and to help anybody who was, you know, needed help, you know, and to the best of his ability, you know. He didn't have the silver bullet either, but, and at some point in my recovery, I made the same commitment, you know. I admired this. He's no longer with us. He passed away. And I admired him, looked up to him. He was like a father figure to me. And it seems funny because now I'm older than he was. So, kind of odd. And I loved this guy. And he was one of the first people that, males that I could say I loved, you know, without it having any other, you know, without the fear of being judged for loving another man, you know, which happens when you come from where I came from. And I don't want to get into that. It's a bloody mess. As we, you know, a lot of us come from very dysfunctional childhood. Mine was very dysfunctional. It was not a lot of I love you or touching or hugging or anything like that. I seen my mom touch my dad in a loving way once, my whole life, you know, once. And I'd never seen my father do that with my mother. So that's where I came from. So for me, to get to a place where I could say that I loved another man without it being no more than I love this guy and he's like a father to me, was very, a big change, you know. So anyway, my food was clean, my mind was becoming clearer, depression was lifted, I had a lot of medical problems, I was on like 5 different kinds of medication. And the medication started going away gradually. And now I'm on one kind of medication, not for anything that I was doing with food back then, but this is more about a development from something that happened when I was in the service, and I have a service-related disability, and this medication is to help with that. So I'm trying to be a little vague because of time. So I got the sponsor turned out to be the friend that was taking me, you know, the guy that bamboozled me into this program. And he started me, and I had a spiritual life prior to being here. I had been to an ashram for, 5 years pretty steady, and another 7 kind of off and on. And, you know, I tell people I was whacked with peacock feathers and sandalwood by the best of them. But it never did fix my compulsive overeating or my compulsive exercising, you know. So my sponsor was kind of he was clever with his words. That's probably better than what I used to say he was. He was clever with his words, and he says, "Well, since you're such a spiritual giant." Clever with his words, right? I had another term for him, but me and his other sponsees used to get together and talk about him. "What's he got you doing this week, you know?" "Dang, this is what he's got me doing," you know. So it's kind of a way to bond, you know. And he got me on the steps, you know, and he gave me an outline to do a 10-step, which gave me an outlet to focus my anger and my resentment and my jealousy and all this negativity that I had onto paper instead of blowing up at people, because that's what I did before. You know, if you were to brush across my ego before, I'd shotgun you with this like emotional shotgun, and I would just cuss at you and call you all kinds of names and anything to get you to go away, right? So I started putting all that on paper, because every time I blew up at somebody, my sponsor made me go make an apology to them. I don't want to apologize to these people, so I just grabbed some paper and started writing. And he said, "Did you blow up at him?" I said, "No." He says, "Good, then keep going with what you're doing," you know. So that's the only reason why I didn't blow up at him, was because I didn't want to go back and say, "I'm sorry." I don't want to be that person. I don't want to tell them I don't want to be that person, you know, because I really didn't want to be that person. I didn't like that person very much, you know. So I just started throwing all this stuff on the 10th step, and I was working the other steps and working with him, and there started to be some relief. There started to be some major changes going on for me, where a lot of the anger was dropping away and the resentment dropped away. And I can't, you know, it's so funny. I don't know if it was me getting older and my memory fading, but I would meet somebody and I go, "You know, I know there's something about this person that I can't remember what it is." It's like, I'd hug them and say, talk to them, you know, and it's like, whatever it was didn't seem to be all that important anymore, because I just couldn't remember it, and it wasn't important. So, like, resentment started to drop away because like that, you know, and then a lot of hatred towards my family started to drop away, and a lot of acceptance came into my life around my family. I ended up developing a relationship with my mother again, but not my father, due to the fact of my father's insanity and his abuse, where my mom was able to curb it, or not directly, you know. I learned how to shotgun people because, you know, I learned it from mom and dad. And dad never gave up the shotgun, but mom at least tried. So I was able to develop a relationship with her before she passed. And I did all the steps necessary to have my father buried, and I didn't bury him with resentment and anger and hate because of this fellowship, because of the work I did. And I don't take credit for what I've seen too many people come and go. I don't take credit for my recovery. I don't take credit for the ability even to work the steps. I think it was take credit for. And I feel real grateful that if the ability is there and still there. I just, you know, I was writing 10 Step the other day. I've gotten, this is my third sponsor since being here, and I still read the 10 Steps to him, and he reads his 10 Steps to me. We're kind of co-sponsoring each other, which I hear people do. So I decided to try it, and it seems to be working for us. And, you know, I just want to say that, you know, it doesn't matter how long it takes for you to get this program, you know. It doesn't matter how long it takes you to get the willingness to do the work that's around here. It's just keep coming back. And it's been my experience that people that just keep coming back, the willingness for, you know, working a food plan and working the steps is happens. So, thank you.